Puritan preacher Richard Baxter once said, "When you are heartless and dull under the ordinances of God and Scripture has little life or sweetness to you, and you are almost indifferent whether you call upon God in secret or not, and whether you go to the congregation and hear the Word of God and join in God's praises and communion of the saints, and you have no relish in holy conference or any ordinance, but do them merely almost for custom or to satisfy conscience, and not for any great need you feel of them or good you find by them, that shows for certain," he says, "that you want more of the rod and spur."
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people.
Thank you.
welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, delighted to have you with us here on Let the Bible Speak. We are considering together Hosea chapter 14, and there is a message here from the Lord to those who are backslidden in heart. And we find in the context the Lord speaking to Israel, and he says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us, we will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. We're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale to continue our consideration of God's gracious dealings with a backslidden people, looking specifically at their sorrowful plight, dealing with their sin and their forsaking the Lord for idols. Is this the case with you today? Have you forsaken the Lord, grown cold in your heart? Have you been following after the idols of this world instead of the God of heaven? May the Lord bless his word to your soul today. As we live our lives, do we not have the fear of God? When we think of his commandments and we try to keep his commandments through the help of his Spirit, do we not do so fearing God, honoring him, putting him first in these things? We love God. We love him because he first loved us. We loved him because he sent his Son to the cross of Calvary to die for our sins. And therefore we will worship him in spirit and in truth. We will fear him. We will keep his commandments. We will not live a life that is riotous. We will not live a life filled with sin. Why? Because we fear the God that delivered us from these things. And the problem with Israel was here they were not living in fear of God. God was very strict in how he was to be worshipped. God was very clear in how the people were to live. And they live without a fear of God. What about you, dear believer? Do you live with a fear of God? Is God's fear upon your mind, upon your heart, as you live, as you worship, that you want to honor him in all that you do? Dear unbeliever, you should fear God. You should fear him who has the power to cast body and soul into hell. You should fear the God who sent his Savior or his Son to be the Savior of sinners, to be the Redeemer of his people. And the great redemption of the people of Israel was carried out by God alone through his power. Yet we find that despite this redemption, despite this deliverance, Israel were found in sin time and time again. God had blessed them. God had delivered him. God had shown them the power of his hand, the great strength of his might, and they turned from him continually. What a warning that is to you and I. Backsliding is no new thing. Being cold at heart is no new thing. It was found in the wilderness. It was found in the book of Exodus and throughout the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, here in Hosea. God's people, time and time again, despite heritage, despite blessing, they were cold at heart. And they had forsaken the God of heaven. And this forsaking, you may say, well, I'm here at the house of God. I'm here worshiping. I'm not forsaking God. Externally, you're not forsaking God. And you see the difference. Externally, you're here. Externally, your Bible is in your hand. Externally, you're singing the praises of God. What about your heart? What about your heart? Is it a heart that is close to God? For the Lord looks upon the heart. Oh, externally, we can come across so holy, so righteous.
But yet what is going on behind the scenes? What is going on in the heart? There's something very grievous and very sad that we can often see. And it's within the Church of Christ, those who attend the church, maybe they're members of the church, maybe they're leaders, office bearers within the church. And sometimes, sadly and grievously, Satan enters in, and it becomes known that such an individual has sinned greatly against God. That sin may be of a legal nature. There may be court cases. There may be police involvement. It may be a sin of a moral nature. It may be a sin of a financial nature. And often this comes up. Often we see this. What has happened? Those who have professed faith in Christ have entered into sin. And that should not be something for gossip or something to look at a particular church and say, well, that church is not as sound as our church. That church, well, they do things this way. Or they hold to this particular doctrine, and therefore, what do you expect? It should not be our attitude. It should be a warning that there are those who profess faith in Christ, but yet there is great sin, and they fall into great sin. It is a warning that you and I are not immune from sin. We're to watch for our souls. We're to watch for the souls of others. We're to pray for one another. We're to keep Christ central in our lives, that we would not forsake the God of our salvation. Oh, how grievous it is when we see these things. Good, sound, Bible-believing churches that we would have fellowship with have experienced these great difficult things. We are not immune. We are not immune. Therefore, our relationship with God personally, individually, is of great importance. Dear believer, do you love the Lord, or have you forsaken Him? C.H. Spurgeon said, backsliding begins in forsaking prayer. It ends in renewing supplication with God. Notice here, they're falling into sin. They're falling into sin. Thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. The experience that they had was of the grace and the blessing of God. Yet they fell into idolatry. And what a horrible and terrible fall that is. They'd forsaken God and had fallen into sin. The two come together. When God is forsaken, there is sin. When God is loved and when God is first within our lives, there is a limiting of sin. There is a mortifying of sin. God's law was no longer the standard that they abided by. Proverbs tells us the backslider in heart shall be filled with all his ways. Not the ways of God, but all his ways. God's word and God's truth has been set aside by those who are cold at heart. They fell into sin. What should our attitude be to sin? It should be God's attitude to sin. We're to flee sin and forsake sin. But as God is forsaken and God's word is forsaken, we fall into sin. And again, this may be a private thing. Publicly, we may look the part. But privately, God sees our souls. Dear believer, examine yourself. Are you truly a child of God? Truly living for Christ? Are there sins within your life that you need to bring before the Lord to have victory over? Well, the Lord would convict you of that sin, that you would listen. Listen to the Lord. There's a following after idols as well. When you think of the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. And it continues. And Israel broke those commandments many times. They fell into idolatry. Verse 3 emphasizes this to us. And they say, as they turn to the Lord, we will say, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. Ye are our gods. There was idolatry here. Idolatry. They were worshipping that which was produced by their hands. And those idols that men worship created by their hands are nothing compared to the infinite, living, and true God of heaven. How sad, how grievous it is that they served idols. The psalmist says they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. No, you may have something in life, you treasure it. You may not bow down to it and worship it, but in many ways it is an idol. It has come between you and God. We can think of the idols of sports and the idols of music, and there are many things in life that can be idols. Our family can be an idol that comes between us and God. Our education can be an idol that comes between us and God. There are many important and vital things in life that we can make idols out of. You can enjoy something as simple as cooking, but it can become an idol to you because it takes time away from God. There should be a balance, but yet there is not. There is not. An idol is anything that comes between you and God. And these people, this people of God here, they were to turn from their idols. They were to look to the God of heaven. Ephraim shall say, verse 8, what have I to do any more with idols? They were to turn. An idol in life can be many things. An idol in life can even be what you consider to be service for God. We can think of the Apostle Paul. He thought he was serving God. Saul of Tarsus, persecuting the Christians, promoting Judaism, following the law strictly. He thought that these things were all gain to him, that he was serving God, man of faith. But yet he didn't know the true and living God. His religion was an idol in his life. Are there idols within your life, no matter how good they may be? You may have the idol of education. You desire a good job. You desire God's blessing upon that job. And all the study that has to be done. But it comes between you and God and His commands and His standards. Oh, that we would be discerning, that we would not find ourselves in a sorrowful plight. Notice again the words of Hosea 14. O return, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord, and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. The Lord comes here and he says, there's been a falling away. There's been a turning. There's been a forsaking. There has been a following into sin. And that's a sorrowful thing. Dear believer, when we think on those words, examine yourselves. Have you fallen by your iniquity? It may not be the great iniquity of hating the God of heaven, but maybe somewhere down the line, your love for Christ has waned. It is not what it ought to be. I want you to turn to Revelation, where we read from a few moments ago. We have here the church at Ephesus. And the Lord says in verse 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. There's a commendation here. This church is commended for its stand. These believers are commended for their work and for their labor. for their suffering for the cause of Christ, they hadn't fainted. But the Lord comes and says, I do have somewhat against thee. There is something that has went wrong. Something significant, because you've left your first love. You've hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. There's a great work that has been done here of standing for truth, but it's been done with a cold heart. The boxes have been ticked of separation. The boxes of standing against that which is not the truth of God. The box of discerning who are true believers and preachers and apostles. All these things have been done well, but they've been done with a cold heart. And what does the Lord say? Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. He says, repent. This is not how it is to be. We as the people of God are not to have that path into sin. We are not to be those who have forsaken their love of Christ. We're to return. We're to repent. What is repentance? It's a turning away, a turning aside. It is a U-turn. Turning from sin and iniquity, leaving it behind and looking to Christ. And the Lord says, this is what is to happen. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Notice what is said in verse 1, O Israel. O Israel. And what does that term Israel mean? It is the covenant title of God's people. The Lord is not coming here and saying, O wicked sinner, O evil person, O rebel. The Lord is saying, Israel, I've loved you. I've delivered you. My eye is upon you. I love you with an everlasting love. But mistakes have been made. Sin has been committed. O Israel, my promises are toward you. My eye is toward you. Return unto the Lord. Dear believer, what about you? Have you forsaken the Lord? Have you turned from Him? Is your eye somewhere else? Your heart somewhere else? As we come to the table of the Lord tonight, consider your ways. Examine yourself, that you would turn from sin and look unto the Lord. May you return to Him. May you know His grace. May you know His healing. And may the Lord bless His word to our souls this morning. Amen.
Spurgeon brings us today to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. The Word of God says, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What a sweet title, my people. What a cheering revelation, their God. How much of meaning is couched in those two words, my people. Here is speciality. The whole world is God's. The heaven, even the heaven of heavens, is the Lord's. And He reigneth among the children of men, but of those whom He hath chosen, whom He hath purchased to Himself, He saith what He saith not of others, my people. In this word there is the idea of proprietorship. In a special manner the Lord's portion is His people. And Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. All the nations upon earth are His. The whole world is in His power. Yet are His people, His chosen, more especially His possession. For He has done more for them than others. He has bought them with His blood. He has brought them nigh to Himself. He has set His great heart upon them, for He has loved them with an everlasting love, a love which many waters cannot quench, and which the revolutions of time shall never suffice in the least degree to diminish. Dear friends, can you, by faith, see yourselves in that number? Can you look up to heaven and say, My Lord and my God, mine by that sweet relationship which entitles me to call thee Father, mine by that hallowed fellowship which I delight to hold with thee, when thou art pleased to manifest thyself unto me, as thou dost not unto the world. Canst thou read the book of inspiration, and find there the indentures of thy salvation? Canst thou read thy title writ in precious blood? Canst thou by humble faith lay hold of Jesus' garments, and say, My Christ? If thou canst, then God saith of thee, and of others like thee, My people. For if God be your God, and Christ your Christ, the Lord has a special, peculiar favour to you. You are the object of His choice, accepted in His beloved Son. Thank you for listening to our program today, and we trust that the Word of God has been a blessing to your heart and to your soul. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all His fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.